30th of March morning session with Sarah, Jonathan, Christina, Zita, Ivan, Sukin, Betty, Vince, Elle and Nancy.
But actually, when we think about the vipassanayana, tathanga, how cannot it be the purification of citta? And much better than just the jhana, because the jhana does not understand reality as it is. So when we have the understanding, we can read and we understand what is meant, because even these two are included. If one understands that vipassanayana is Titti Visuddhi, so Sila must be Visuddhi and Citta must be Visuddhi. So here it means that even the two, the access and the absorption, concentration, are also included.
As objects.
We don't have to use objects because we are talking about the Citta, right, which is Samadhi.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So but when, how can they be included in the Citta? Because even for
because,
the one who's attained jhanas.
Yes, because you see that there are many grade or degree of concentration. So those who can have these two, at the moment when understanding accompany the moment.
At moment of insight?
It depends, because you see that no one can stop the arising of the conditions to be what level of samadhi. So as much as we should get this is that these two are included as visuddhi, because the panya knows it.
Can we say that even though it's kanika, still it can be at this?
The kanika is included. Otherwise, what is vipassanayana?
Right.
See?
Right. It must be kanika, but it can be different intensities.
Mm-hmm. So this is also included.
Included.
Otherwise, where is the kanika? See? Which is the tathaka pahana. And all vipassanayana cannot be the access and the absorption.
The problem is people point to this and say, oh, necessary.
They just.
This is like.
Can. But can they answer whether vipassanayana is what kind of samadhi? And is it not visuddhi? Because each visuddhi condition the next visuddhi. For example, if there is no titti visuddhi, how can there be the higher one?
I'm not really sure, talking about the visuddhis, why it is sila visuddhi, then citta visuddhi, and then ditti visuddhi, why they have sila visuddhi and citta visuddhi.
I think that in order to point out, if they are only one, sila and citta and ditti, then how can one know that sila visuddhi is different from ordinary sila?
To point out that it is sila with insight.
But it does mean that sila visuddhi first.
Right.
Because it has to accompany satipatthana.
You mean it doesn't mean sila visuddhi before visuddhi?
Together.
Together.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So are these not stages like in the sutta about the carriages? Is this not sila
yes, it is. It is because they go together.
Uh-huh. Like, right. They have to develop. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of sila visuddhi being accomplished or fully established.
It cannot be separated from satipatthana.
Is this similar in the vipassanayanas, for example? It's not a case of nama rupa parijñāna is completed before there is any development of understanding the next stage. Understanding is developed and different aspects of dhammas are known, but of course the second stage is not completed until after the first stage is completed, but it doesn't mean that the first stage is developed and then there is the development of the second stage beginning after that.
Mm-hmm. Not enough. Just one stage is not enough.
No, but
it's like the understanding of impermanence. It has to develop. Is that your question?
Well, I'm saying that when these things are given as stages, like sila, samadhi, panya, doesn't mean sila is developed first and then samadhi is developed and then panya, because when there is satipatthana, all levels of understanding are being developed. It's true that sila will be perfected before samadhi is perfected, before panya is perfected, but doesn't mean one is developed first, then the next, then the next.
This is the sutta that I was mentioning that a friend raised on the list, where the Buddha advises him to cultivate and frequently practice restraint of the five senses. This will establish a threefold good conduct in deed, word, and thought. When the threefold good conduct is cultivated and frequently practiced, the four foundations will be established. When the four foundations are well established, seven bojanga, etc. So the restraint of the five senses leading to good conduct and then leading to establishment of satipatthana. Does it mean here the restraint of the five senses, this is with satipatthana, with the beginning of satipatthana, or just sati, not of the level of satipatthana?
Should be that, because satipatthana is here.
So it's sati but not of one. Mm-hmm. So guarding the doors, yeah, with sati but not satipatthana. This is something I wrote on the luminous thing. So from the commentary, as to the ninth, luminous is clear, pure, citta is the life continuum. This is Pabhasaranti Pandaram Parisudam. But how does there exist indeed a colour of citta? No, it does not. That was Nina's translation. And then from the sub-commentary, from the Tika, in the ninth statement, the expression radiant means complete purity. This is Pabhasaram, means complete purity due to the natural complete cleanness. That is why the commentator said pure, completely clean, because the qualities like radiance, Pabhasaram, are attributes available in the colour, in the vana. The commentator asked, how could there be such a thing as the colour of the mind? Having negated that question, saying it's not of the mind, it's no due to the mind's immateriality because it's not rupa, and showing the other argument for explaining the complete cleansing of such a mind, the commentator made the statement beginning with any colour such as brown. So when I read that together with the Sudhimagga Tika about the luminosity referring to the rupas conditioned by the citta,
it depends on one is talking about citta or rupa.
But here it seems to me that the Pandaram is talking about the citta, referring to all cittas being clear, but the Pabhasaram, in the commentary, specifically says it's the attribute of the colour element of the vana conditioned by the mind. That's how I
understand. It's kusala, exactly. Of that level.
So with the Sudhimagga one, it's very clear that it's when it's depending on the degree of insight, of course the rupas are affected by citta, conditioned by citta.
The more we read, the more we better understand the source. Otherwise it will get mixed up.
But because in this case it's referring to the Bhavanga citta, but it says it's Bhavanga citta with the three wholesome roots.
But when we talk about Pawang, it can be any moment, any type. But this can point out when it's have as example. But in other places, it doesn't mention that only with three hetus.
Right.
So
but
we have to combine both.
But here, because it's the specific mention of Pabhasaram and the rupas, I think it must be...
Pawang must be with three
hetus. Three hetus. Yes.
Because the two hetus cannot have such...
Have effect.
Yeah.
So it can have that
effect. How a conventional object becomes illuminated by being the object of panya, I don't know.
What do you mean by conventional object?
Chair, table.
There is no explanation about that.
Not in what Sarah just read, but in another passage. I have a recollection that made some reference to chair glowing in the dark or something.
Right.
Could it mean just highlighted?
Okay.
Because of concentration, it's highlighted, you know. But that doesn't mean glowing. That's another term.
If he can do that.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure it can.
Mm-hmm. What can do that?
Power, special power.
This is from the Tika to the Sudhimagga. Illumination due to insight is the luminous materiality, rupa, originated by insight consciousness. And that originated by temperature belonging to his own continuity. Of these, that originated by insight consciousness is bright and is found only in the meditator's body. The other kind is independent of his body and spreads all round over what is capable of being experienced by knowledge. It becomes manifest to him too, and he sees anything material in the place, touched by it.
Mm-hmm. And, touched by it.
Yeah.
Like a light.
Like a light, right. Mm-hmm. So to give an extreme example, the Panya accompanying the Buddha's omniscience can show up or
light
see
up the world.
Mm-hmm. Light up the world, can see any object in any plane or any realm, and there can be all sorts of effects as a result.
So it's
but
lit up
other
for,
people cannot see.
Oh,
it.
It's good. That was my question.
Only those
it lit
with
up
wisdom.
For that being
that
only,
being, right.
But not for
exactly
the people
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
It's not lit up. Yeah.
Okay. So different levels and different extremes.
It's the Bhavanga cittas, even with the wholesome roots, it's difficult to understand. It can have that effect, but we don't know.
When Panya grows rapidly,
then
like the Buddha's enlightenment,
right.
Or the Arahata with power.
But the Bhavanga cittas would be the same regardless of the wisdom developed, whether it's Devadatta's or Ananda's, because the Bhavanga cittas are Vipaka cittas.
Yes.
So
all Bhavangas are
Vipassarang.
Okay, so have that effect,
mm-hmm.
if they're wholesome
yeah.
roots.
What about the animals, Bhavanga? Is it also Vipassarang?
It doesn't mention it in
it
this.
It must be, because one can see that it talks about when there is no akusala cetasika
right.
accompany, mm-hmm. and the akusala cetasika cannot accompany Bhavanga.
So even beings in a hell realm?
Any moment when patisanthicitta arises, one does not know where one was. Yeah.
But wouldn't this just be pandarang? Would it be papasarang?
Papandara including akusala and all cittas. That's why the meaning of pandara and the meaning of papasarang are different. Pandara includes all,
oh.
but papasarang, vipaka, which is pavanga, and kusala.
But Masaram, when you're talking about the Vipaka, it doesn't have to be rooted in Panya.
We talk about when there is no akusala citta, no
when
matter
no
in what world.
In
yeah.
what
that's the only meaning of Papasaram, mm-hmm. when there is no akusala cetasika accompanying.
But if it didn't have the wholesome root, it wouldn't have this effect of the
luminous
in
rupa.
The rupas,
yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
So two different aspects.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that talks about the
one,
luminous rupa.
The example of the one
yeah.
with the three roots. It's omniscient knowledge because its objective field consists of formed, unformed, and conventional samuti, conceptual dharmas without remainder. In what way are concepts the object of the omniscience? Because I thought it was omniscience into all realities.
I think that when there is the experiencing of an object, what word would you be able to use and explain?
I see. So it's paramatta dharmas
yeah.
as explained by
mm-hmm.
concepts.
Right.
Okay, otherwise it doesn't quite make sense.
It's probably related to my lack of understanding of anatta, but we often talk about, and the suttas talk about, no self, and that there's no real control, that everything is conditioned, and that it's often said that people doing formal sitting meditation are doing it with an idea of self, and perhaps that's not necessarily the best practice. But often in the suttas we read things like develop, the term develop, like it sounds like an order to do something, develop tanya. But if there's no self and no control and everything's conditioned, how can we develop something?
It's because of conditions. If, for example, the Buddha hadn't first spoken about Dhamma, then there would be no conditions for us to sit here and talk.
Mm-hmm.
So when Ajahn talks about Dhamma, it conditions you to think about Dhamma and for the mind to think about doing things. So it doesn't mean that there's someone who does it, but there are conditions for it to happen that way.
To say develop something sounds like an instruction, like go up and do it.
Depends how one hears it.
Oh, okay.
Well, develop can be many ways of thinking about developing. You could come to just coming here from Australia is developing Dhamma just by coming here and listening, right?
When Buddha said monks go to the foot of trees and meditate, how is that? Because I've seen on DSG that's not seen as an instruction to do formal sitting meditation. For some reason, I forget what
I know what you're getting at here on this one. But again, you've got to be careful about what the translation of that was. It could be the Buddha said when you're sitting at the foot of a tree. Now, you've got to remember what a monk is doing in the forest, right? They go on alms round and they have food, and after that, what is there to do? They're not out activities, they're not working, they're not doing anything. So more than likely they are sitting someplace, more than likely under a tree. So the Buddha said for there to be an understanding at that time, an awareness of what is arising and falling away at that time. And the Buddha never said to lay people, go and sit at the foot of a tree, yet lay people became enlightened. So why didn't he say that? Because there wasn't that need to say. He wasn't saying go and sit at a foot of a tree. He more said, in situations like sitting at the foot of a tree, there comes to the understanding, the awareness of what arises and falls away, and knowing what is there. And when in jhana or any situation, there can be understanding of what the reality is that arises and falls away for what it really is.
Okay, so really he was just saying to monks, in what you normally do every day,
so when he's talking to lay people, he doesn't say, sit at the foot of the tree.
Okay. No, he doesn't. Okay.
And he never said, well, now that we're all together, let's sit and meditate.
He doesn't say it to all monks either.
No.
He doesn't say it to all monks.
No.
Okay, thank you. That's what you made me ask.
And what about now? We are sitting.
We
have been sitting.
Yes.
So what should be this moment?
Paying attention to what's arising.
In order to have right understanding.
Yeah.
And without knowing about nama and rupa, how can there be the development of understanding? Because the understanding of what? Developing understanding of what? If there is no understanding about nama and rupa. But once they know what is meant by developing, because they all understand about nama and rupa. Without understanding, it's impossible just to develop what? And when Buddha said develop, it's not an order at all, because it does mean that as soon as he said, everyone develops. It's impossible. Just helping one to understand the best in life, the developing of understanding at any time.
What about the other one you had, the one this morning?
You have to go on. I think I'm talking to her. All right, what was the one this morning?
The one where the Buddha was talking to the monk about, you silly man.
Well, no.
And who is not silly?
Yes. He's not silly. Well, we're all silly. And yeah.
It was the Water Snake Sutta. And Arita, I think his name was, a monk, had just picked up the wrong idea of what the Buddha was teaching. And the Buddha said, you worthless man, and seemed to... I think my knees would be knocking if I was...
I think that if the other person say like that, we feel not easy at all. But when Buddha said, it's different. Mm-hmm. Like?
Mm-hmm. Buddha said it
With metta, with karuna.
Except this man was the first monk to disrobe, Arita. So, anyway, but... sorry,
maybe he knew that also.
Yeah, but there was more to that question.
Okay. There was something further in the sutta about he was worthless and he was going to suffer a long time in hell. And I thought, that's a bit hard for not understanding something, or probably wrong view, but it just seemed a little unfair. That because you couldn't understand something, there were these terrible punishments for eons.
But we could say there were these terrible punishments for eons because of his past karma, and the fact that he was not understanding meant there was nothing that was going to attenuate or prevent that from happening.
I think we have to distinguish between misunderstanding something that's said and then having a view.
That's the point that I took this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as panya is very strong, kusala, so wrong view, deeply held, is very strong, kusala.
Okay.
Can bring very serious
problems.
We don't realize that.